bounces around in you quite a bit, because you, then all of a sudden you realize, hey, I got one of those too. You know, we all got that dumb old chatterbox in us that just tells you how bad you are. I've never known a chatterbox to say, boy, you are so special and so good looking, you know. You've got to tell yourself that, because you've got to confess those things, because the chatterbox is in there to do nothing but destroy you and just wear you down and just make you worried and just take away your peace. And pretty soon you're listening to all these things within you, and you begin to believe it. So the chatterbox, you got to watch out. So today we're going to look at a few areas here of what we need to do. Now remember, last week we ended with that study that we will be getting. And then in that study, there's four confessions that we will work through it. I encourage you to come out on Sunday morning, Sunday school, because I think that's where we're going to enter it with. We're going to use it on that time frame. But the first confession is, God says, I am overpowering the lies of the enemy and your insecurities. We are built with insecurities, just insecure, you know. God says he will, overpowering the lies of the enemy in your fears. We all have and had fears, amen. God says he has, overpowering the lies of the enemy in your condemnation. And then confession four, God says that I can, overpowering the lies of the enemy in your discouragement. And then it said this, the voice that you believe will determine the future that you experience. So kind of keep thinking about those things. That's why it is so important for positive confessions. I'm going to tell you what, guys, if you don't say it for yourself, who's going to do it for you? Ain't nobody going to come up to you and, you know, because even if they do, you'll say, what do they want? That's that chatterbox already kicking in. It's like they come up and say, oh, Tracy, you're looking good. Oh, I like that. And Tracy's probably thinking, oh boy, they want something. Or they done something, or whatever the case might be. So even when we get compliments from the outside coming in, that thing within us will turn it around to make it look like we got to be on defensive to be, oh, they want something from us, or they've done something to me, you know, that I haven't heard about yet. I don't know. So we got to be cautious of that. And today we're going to look at the areas of recognizing his voice. We need to listen to his voice. We need to also then obey his voice. And we'll just look at some scriptures here, not very many. But we should have them up on the slides here pretty soon on that first scripture, recognizing his voice. John 10, 3-5. And you can look at it. It says, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and leads them out. Isn't that awesome that he will call you by what? Name. Not just, you know, your model number 355981AZZU, you know, whatever. It's he knows the name. Hallelujah. So, brings them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee. Another version would say, run away from him, that stranger, for they do not know the voice of the stranger. So if you are that close to God, through that of Jesus Christ, and Jesus is the gatekeeper, if you go back into that, John 10:10, in the very beginning of 10:1, it says, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. This is talking about there's only one way to God. There's only one way to heaven. There's only one way for his kingdom, for you to become part of his kingdom, or that eternity, that salvation and all that, and it's through who? Jesus. And Jesus has shared that with many a people. It talks about in this, in the sheepfold, the shepherd functioned as a gate, letting the sheep in and protecting them. And we know that the Lord protects us. Jesus is the gate to God's salvation. Now, some people resent that Jesus is this gate, and it's only through him that they have access to God. And that's where the big fight begins, isn't it? It's like, well, there's other ways to him. Being good, you know, not doing bad or doing this or doing that, or I'm not such a bad sinner, or, you know, they've got other gods, other idols that they might be looking into. But there is only one way. And even up to this day, mention the mere name of Jesus in that, as far as entering into the kingdom, and people will just go ballistic on you. They will think you're some kind of crazy. And they will think, well, how do you know? Well, I know because it says. And then it gets into all kinds of conversations and all. But we know his word and what his word is saying and how true his word is. But the important part in this also is knowing that he goes before them. This is the shepherd, and this is, you know, the Jesus is given an example, and he's using something commonality of that day and that of the shepherd and taking care of the sheep and how important the shepherd was to the sheep, how the sheep would only know their voice of their shepherd, and that they would just go to him and stay with him. The same thing, so now Jesus is saying, okay, this is how you're going to get to God the Father. It's through this voice. It's through me. You know, I'm the gate. He goes before them, and the sheep follow him. Well, I guess that's one question. Are you following him? Are you following Jesus? Are you a follower of Christ? I had a study on that some time back. Followers are fans, a fan or a follower. The sheep follow him. Why is that? For they know his voice. Do you know his voice? You know, it's good to know his voice in those quiet times, because every once in a while we do have a quiet time, maybe not as many today as we used to, but it's also important to know his voice during the clatter of times, and there's just so much commotion and so much going on. And even in that chatterbox in your mind, are you hearing the true voice? Are you able to break through that and to really hear what Christ says about you? Are you able to read and believe and by that of the Spirit be able to sense that what he says about you? And Tracy brought us through some of these things today of who we are and what I can be, and that's all good things. There's enough out there to tear you down. Just day in and day out. I mean, it's sad. And so we need all that we can to be strong and to be effective. You know, to be effective for the kingdom, you've got to be strong. You've got to be moving in the gifts, the fruits, and all these things that he has for us. And that draws the attention from the things of this world to the things of the kingdom. And that's the thing we want to do. We want to be able to show so much kingdom influence in this worldly, terrible situation, amen, that there's a difference. And that we walk differently. We look at things differently. It's not that we're brainwashed. It's just that we've been reborn, regenerated, amen, renewed. And it talks in the aspects of your brain and your heart and the connection of that. And sometimes in the Word, it's talking about the things written upon your heart and out of the mouth, the heart speaks, and then the brain and the mind and how they find it connected. I was talking to a gentleman just this week, and he was doing a study on some teaching he was doing. And he said that he had noticed and did some research, it's probably within the last 5 years or sooner, that they are believing that the heart itself is a brain, because of its responding to within itself. You know, long before, it always seemed like it was connected to the brain, and the brain would tell it to beat, 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 and all this type of stuff. But the scientists and the things that they're finding within that, and they're finding that within that heart area, there's like even a magnetic-type field and things like that. So, you know, this is stuff that he was just sharing, and it's like, you know, who knows, you know, that the heart itself could be like a brain within itself, knowing what it's to do and all that. You know, and he was getting, I guess the research was talking about when they were classifying somebody that is brain dead, but yet their heart is still beating. And wouldn't you think that if the brain was telling the heart, you need to keep beating to keep this body alive, that once the brain loses its feed, that everything in the body would just shut down? So there might be something to this. I know when my dad passed, the doctor, I didn't get to talk to him, but he told my sister, my mom, that for all intents and purposes, he had died like 7 o'clock that morning. And they just had him in a room waiting for his heart to stop. It didn't stop until like 3 p.m. that day. You know, he was just whatever, you know. The heart was strong or it was doing its own thing. I don't know. But it's an amazing thought process. And we know this body is quite amazing. And even now, man is still learning much about what is in us. And then we look at God's Word and what God's Word shares about the heart. And the heart is changed of the mind and the mind and the heart. And we renew the mind and, you know, all these things. So anyway, this is just a side note to that. That the heart is so powerful. And what is in our heart is going to come out. But as we get back to knowing who we are in Christ, knowing who He is in our life, knowing that we can, you know, clamp down, shut down these voices in us or whatever the case might be that are just keeping chattering on us. I mean, there are some people that, you know, they just won't let their brain slow down. And there's probably a good time to where you just turn everything off and just sit in a dark room for a while and just, you know, don't do anything. Just kind of let the whole system's kind of like, because we keep going so much. But anyway, people today, they don't want to hear that Jesus is the way. They get really upset for the most part. In the next verse, needing to listen to God's voice, the first one was talking about we must recognize. So to recognize that voice is important. It's probably no different as children when they were growing up and outside playing in the neighborhood and it was time to come home and somebody's mom would scream for them. Nah, the kid knew whose it was. It's like, oh, that's your mom or that's your dad, you know. When we have a relationship, when we have a time with someone long enough, we know their voice. We can recognize it. It's amazing that sometimes even to get the attention of your spouse sometimes, you can be from here to that wall or something like that and just not yell out, but just do something, like even like that. Nobody else hears it, but they hear that, and all of a sudden they look at you. I don't know how that works, but it's just something within you. So anyway, we need to recognize His voice, and that's a very big, big benefit. In Exodus 15, 25 to 26, I'm going to turn there. You've got the verse before you as far as that particular 25 and 26. This is in 15 of Exodus is the song of Moses. Long song there. Verses 1 through, you know, 18. But Moses and the children of Israel are sang this song to the Lord. And it goes on, I will sing to the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. And you can just read that whole phrase all the way through there. Powerful things. And then it gets into 22 where it says, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. And then they went out into the wilderness. And then they went for 3 days in the wilderness. And they found no water. And now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the water because it was bitter. And then the people complained, as we do today, what are we going to drink? We might not be worried about the drink. We might say, well, how are we going to take care of that bill? How are we going to pay that debt? How are we going to take care of this? How are we going to do that? You know, what has God done for us so far? You know, He seems like He's blessed us up to this point, and now He's gone. What happened? So, what shall we drink? So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And when he cast it into the water was made sweet. And there they made a statue and an ordinance for them that there he had tested them. And it said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord, your God, and do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments and keep all of His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Well, that's a lot there to say. Even today, you're walking in sickness. There's healing been done. Amen. If you're walking in these things, you know, he has made a way. He's taken the diseases, and they shouldn't be upon you. Now, as we look at this, that's a very strong area of talking about the healing and the Lord saying he will not bring diseases upon these people. But what we're looking at, too, is that God is good, and he desires only his best for you. And do you believe that? Hopefully you believe that God loves you and he desires his best for you. It's hard to tell people that, though, sometimes, isn't it? When they're going through some situations in their life, and it's rough and it's difficult, and you try to share scriptures like that, they look at you like what? You're crazy. So how does that work? Well, it takes a lot of talking and a lot of communication back and forth, and usually try to find out where they're at, what happened, when did it happen. And generally finding out these things, guys, is that we find out that we bring a lot of these things on ourselves through our life and the way we've lived. You know, you can't do things to your body for decades and then something happens to it and then get upset with God and say, well, how could he allow that? And it's like, well, he didn't allow that. You entertained it at an early age. You did it. You consumed it. You took it. You partook of it, whatever the case might be, for 50 years. And now the Bible, oh, it talks about, you know, you reap what you sow. And it's not only dealing with money and how you sow into the kingdom, but it's things in our life in general. What you reap, you're going to sow. Hopefully, many of us can find that out soon enough to do some changes in our health to help alleviate some situations that are there. And then, of course, knowing that God is our healer and things of that nature, he does miraculous things. Amen. So as we look at this, that God is good, and as he's talking about this to Moses and what's happening there, he is just saying, if you diligently, in 26, diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God. It's not the voice within you that's telling you things. It's the voice of God that should be there, that you're going to heed what he is saying, what he's instructing, what he's desiring, what he's telling you, and to obey it. Amen. Because we're going to get down to the point, too, that is it better to have a sacrifice or better to, you know, have obedience? So we'll find that out. So it talks about this here in promising he is continuing healing. Let's see, this is talking about verse 15:26 in Exodus. And it's regards to seed faith, and it's talking about in promising his continuing healing presence as our covenant healer, God places two great conditions before his people. Now, don't you believe that God back then, if he placed some conditions on the people then, that there's some conditions that kind of come to us as well? First, God asks us to heed him. Heed him. He wants us to listen to his voice, to have a hearing ear so we will hear him. So much of this world and what's going on in this world is trying to clutter and distort the true voice of God. And it's just because of so much happening and so much going on. But, you know, for us, I believe, we've got to be able to recognize and hear even the whisper of God. And even in a tragic situation, all chaos broke out around you. We've got to be able to not necessarily have God yell at us, but just whisper what we need to do because we're so tuned to him. Remember that part of that chatterbox that I talked about? Was we need to be able to change the frequencies that we're listening to as easy as we can from, you know, I think he used the thing from the Beatles to Miley Cyrus or Miley Cyrus to the Beatles or, you know, from talk station to a music station. We need to be able to do that by what? Just the turn of a dial. Boom, it's gone. Tune in to him. you know, heavenly music on 24 hours a day. But we've got to tune to Him. And we got to get all this other chatter and all this other stuff out there that takes away from that and distortion. And the thing is, just think when you find a radio station, and it's not so much nowadays, but it used to be, you know, you would just be on the fringe area of some place. And you could pick up that station okay for a while, and then it would go in and out. And it would be coming strong, and then it would go out. Or a TV signal, way back when we had TV antennas, you know, and they're starting to come popular again because you can get free TV over the airwaves. But talks about the fringe areas and how far you are from that station as far as what size antenna, how big you need it. If you want the powerful signal and you're, you know, 150 miles away from the town, you got to have a pretty good size, many elements of an antenna to be able to pick that up. Amen. And as we are in this life and as we go through a lot of clutter in this life, we are tuned to God, diligently heeding, diligently seeking, wanting to know more about Him and for us, that we've got to be able to narrow that band down to nothing but Him. And it has gotten easier because of the more fine-tuning that they put into electronics nowadays. And that's what we've got to do in our life. We've got to put some of that into our ability to hear from Him without any other distortion, without any other chatter within us, to know that He has spoken to Tim, or He has spoken to you specifically for our situation. And guess what? That's possible. It's possible. What we're sharing today is nothing that's not attainable. Do you believe that? It's not a pie in the sky and it's like, oh boy, I'll never be able to do that. You can do that. You have the ability to do that. God says you can do that by doing what you're to do and following what He is saying. So anyway, looking at this, God asks us to heed Him. He wants us to listen for His voice, to have a hearing ear so that we will hear Him. God has always spoken to His people, and He will speak to you today, but you must cultivate an attitude of listening for His voice. Cultivate an attitude to listen to His voice. He speaks in many ways, through His word, through His anointed servants, through direct revelation in the inner man. He's seeking people who will listen for His voice and not try to run and hide from Him like what happened in the garden in the cool of the day, amen? Once their eyes of enlightenment were opened up and all, and oh no, now we hear the Lord coming, let's hide! You're not going to hide from Him. God will always know where you're at. The thing is, do you know where you're at and are you able to still hear from God? So as we look at this quickly, oh, through His anointed servants, through direct revelation in your inner man, Ephesians 1, 17, 18. I had that marked here somewhere. Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. I'm going to start in 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what is the riches of His glory and His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who do what? Believe, according to the working of His mighty power. That is powerful stuff. Are you holding on to that? Are you looking at that? Are you looking at this? My goodness, that your eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. So many people just say, I just don't see it. I just don't see what you see in God. Well, you got to have your eyes of understanding enlightened. You got to open up yourself. You know, we talk a lot, we hear a lot about people thinking that, you know, the Christian is a closed person. They don't want to hear nothing else. I don't think so. I think it's a lot of the people out in the world, when you start sharing things of God, they tune it out. And they go the opposite. It's all well and good that we listen to them and allow them to spew their stuff at us. But when we share God's word with them, we're some kind of fanatic. But they need their eyes of enlightenment. They need to be enlightened. Now, the only way they're going to be enlightened is through us and you and the Word of God. So we got to just keep persevering. We got to just be that light, be that salt out there, amen, and do what we're to be doing. The next area that we talked about is he is seeking people who will listen for his voice and not try to run and hide from him. That's Genesis 3:8. You can look at that sometime, but that's where they hid from him, even though he knew where they were at. And second, God asks us to do what is right in his sight. He is seeking people who will not only hear his words, but will take them to heart and act on them. People who will obey his word and not be hearers only. That comes out of James. Be doers of the word. Amen. I mean, it's one thing to hear the word, but it's another thing to do the word. And there's so many people that want to hear it and then share it, but yet you look at them and it's like, well, are you doing part of that word? And it's like, well, I'm just kind of sharing it. Well, no, you need to be a doer of the word too. You need to be able to look at the fruit. What are they showing? What are they, you know, what are they showing? What kind of fruit is it? Can't have, you know, apples come off of a pear tree and all that. Here's a thing. Here's a side note. This could be a commercial before we go on to the next. I was reading something online today, or a couple of days back. And this father says, you can always learn something, even from your kids. Can you believe that? So this thing came up. And how many here eat bananas? How do you peel the banana? So, you know, it's on the bunch. You break it off the bunch. And where do you peel it from? That stem. You know, that's the wrong way to do it. It's the wrong way to do it. Now, how did this kid know this? Who in nature that God created eats a lot of bananas? Monkeys. So, this kid, and I don't know if he learned this in school or whatever, they watched how monkeys eat a banana. A monkey will not take the banana when they break it off, evidently, and start at the top. Because I've tried that, and I mush up the banana sometimes, or I can't, you know, you're squeezing it, you're going, yeah, like that, you know, if it's not just right. You will, a gorilla and monkeys will peel it from the bottom. So they'll take that stem, turn it over, and start peeling it, and it is. You can just put your thumb in that little thing in the center, and all of a sudden just peel that banana peel down real easy. Yeah, we did on the way out here to church. And I was driving, and the thing is, now it makes sense. But I'll, so what happens is, then it says, and then you got a little handle to hold it, because you got the stem. Go figure! And have you ever seen, remember the cartoons where they'd always have the banana squirting out of the banana peel, you know, where, you know, you hit the banana peel and the thing would just go pew. I think that has something to do with peeling it from the bottom up, because as I was driving here, I had like that much banana left in the bottom of it, and I just took that little thing on the bottom, you know, where the stem was at, and I just pushed it like that, and that banana went pew, up. I was going along the river. I almost ran into the river. I don't think Dean's like saying, just keep your eye on the road. What are you doing? I go, I'm just trying out this theory. But it's the weirdest thing. That thing just popped out of there really easy. But isn't that something? How many times, so simple, but taking a look at what God has put into nature and how we can learn a lot from animals. You know, we think as man, we got it all. Now, God has given us a great brain and a great ability to design and to improve things and to design and create things. But sometimes the simplest thing is just look at nature. How do they handle it? So that's a side note. That's a little commercial about, you know, the fruit of the tree. So I know you all are going to go home and try it because I did. You'll be surprised. I was thinking like, oh, it's going to be hard to open it from the bottom. There's not much to hold on to. But it worked out good. And these were kind of like a little bit of green bananas. They weren't really ripe, so they opened up really fast. So let me know what you find out, and you can do a report next week. And then you learn something, you can share with your friends. You can say, hey, try this the way you, you know, peel your banana. So, but you know, as we are moving through this life that we're in, and God has put many great talents and great things in us, and we look at the fruits, and bananas come out of banana trees, apples, apple trees, and things of that nature. We, the world, and even us, we need to look and see what kind of fruit are these people sharing and showing. And we look at this as far as in James, we talked about, you know, not being hearers of the word, but being doers. And as you're the doer of the word, people are going to see the effects of what God has done in your life. I'm pretty sure of that. Now, the next area that we want to look at is, man, hold on. I got to turn this off because I got to. Deuteronomy 30, 19 to 20. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life, death, blessing, and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him. Well, that was another interesting thing when I saw that word, cling. You know, when you do laundry and you dry stuff, if you don't put a certain type of fabric softener in there or do it in a fabric softener, there are some things that just cling together very strong, don't they? And it's like, hey, where did my sock go? You know, and it's inside your undershirt or something like that. And you don't know it until you put it on. You think you got a growth there or something like that. And it's like it's your half a sock. But cling. Now, look at that. If we can only do that to God, if we can look at this where it says, cling to him. Stay close to him, the New Century Version is. Stay close to God. Why would we not want to stay close to the source? Why would we leave the source? But we do, don't we? I don't know why. It's just in us. But for those that have run the race, for those that have done well in life, to those that have done phenomenal things for God, it's usually because they've stayed very close to him, they've clung to him, so that they could just continue to exemplify him in their lives. So as we look at this and continue to read there, cling to him or stay close to him, for he is what? Your life. And the length of what? Your days. Doesn't that tell you like you're going to live? He is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. Side to this is holiness means being separated from and distinct from the world. Holiness. To be separated from and distinct from the world. The book of Deuteronomy is a book that gives insight into positive disciplines for building your life dedicated to God. We need to understand that any action you choose will also have what? Consequences. If you're walking in faith, if you're walking in unfaithfulness and disobedience, God cannot bless or prosper you. Generally, he can't because you're going against him, right? People live in this day and age, and in the days and ages past, but they've lived out of the order of God. And it's dangerous when you live outside the protection and the blessings of God. Don't you agree? You've opened yourself up to just whatever. And it behooves us to pay attention to him, to his words, to his instruction, to his statutes, to his commandments, to what he calls sin. What we call sin is what he calls sin. What he wants in his people is what we want to do and be, you know. So as we follow him and put those things to practice in us, you've opened yourself up for blessings. You've opened yourself up for prospering in this life as we follow him. And if you're not following him, you're just getting by and you're going to have some rough roads there. And, you know, we've all got them. I've all been, I tell you what, my life, you know, it's not been a smooth road all 57 years. There's been some bumps and things. But as we learn those things, we go, my goodness, I don't want to do that again. How did I do that? Got off track with God. How did I do that? I didn't even know God back then, like I know him now. So the first 30-some-odd years, or 35, or whatever it might be, were just kind of like, kind of there. I knew God, but I didn't really follow God. So could he really pour out blessings and all upon me? Not really. You know, now there's grace and there's mercy and there's things, and we don't understand how he still does things for people, and we're like, well, they're not a kingdom child. How could they be winning the lottery? You know? Well, you don't want to ponder that very long, because I don't know about it either. Why do they happen? But they usually come back less, or, you know, worse than what they were before they won all that stuff. And it also shows us that just because monetarily you gain riches, inwardly you have a big void. And a lot of people are like that. There's probably people out there that are of just multiple wealth, but they're empty inside. They would probably be willing to give you all of their wealth if they could just have the fullness that you've got inside. Amen. In some areas. And how you can have that peace, how you can have that love, how you can have that forgiveness, how you can help out, and all these things. There's a lot of out there would like to be able to do that. And I don't know how I can do it other than I look at my God and use him as my source. And what Jesus did, and what Jesus has instructed us to do, to be able to follow that life. And if I can, and if you can, some way, somehow mirror 80% or 75% of what Jesus did, it'll be good. Our desire is 100%, guys. We want to keep going. We have not arrived. But if we can at least say, you know, if you're taking a statistical thing of your life, saying, well, my life, how I'm leading it now. Forget the past, because the Lord doesn't remember your past. Let's just look at today. How am I doing today following Christ? If you can sit there and say, well, I'm at 40%. Well, praise God. You got 60% more to keep working on. That adds 100, doesn't it? 60 and 40? Okay. If you're 50%, whatever the case is, be encouraged by that, but don't rest there. Keep wanting to be closer to God and closer to his ways, to where when he, you know, when he wants to bless somebody, he sees you and he goes, hey, I got just a free blessing here. I'm going to throw it Pat's way. And she's really just attaining things and just staying close to me. And she may not even be wanting a blessing, but you know, what's the only, you can't outgive God. There are some people in the kingdom of God that you just look and listen to them, and it's like, how does that work? But I think they're just supernaturally there, and God is just loving on them and promoting them and giving them and taking care of them, but they don't let it go to their head. You keep it where it needs to be, humbled. That if it wasn't, Lord, for you, I wouldn't have anything. And that I know, Lord, that one day you can take everything that you've given me, you can wipe it away in the snap of your fingers. Because everything in this world here is temporal. But if I do something, Lord, or I offend you, or I go whatever the case might be, and I'm not following you the way I should, and you've told me over and over, and you shared with me, and you've brought things, and you've helped me, and this and that, but I continue on those areas of sliding down that slope of sin or slope of what the world has, one of these days the Lord will just have to remove his blessings from me like he did for those back in the Old Testament, I believe. So when you're talking to people and they're having a rough time in life, you want to just say, come on, I can. Now, you know, I'm not going to guarantee that once you turn over that leaf and a new leaf that, you know, all these situations are just going to vaporize and you're just going to have a rainbow every place you go. But I could tell you this, that you will have strength within, you will have peace within, you will have direction and wisdom within, or he will put you around people that can help you and direct you and help you facilitate those things. And so many times, just by reading his word will just help you so much more. Reading his word and meditating on his word will do much more than sometimes even talking to somebody that you want to talk to and get advice from. Just by being with him. Knowing that what he has for us. And then as we wrap this up, then they need to obey his voice. 1 Samuel, real quick. 15:22. This 15, if you just read chapter 15 and all this going into this, I'm going to tell you, whatever God tells you to do, do it. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Don't put your thoughts into it to say, well, he'll be pleased if I do it this way. If he didn't say do it that way, don't do it that way. Do it his way. And this is what this is all about, obeying what he tells you to do. And we think, well, if I just do a sacrifice and do something extra special, he will be okay with it. When we read this out of Samuel, was he okay with it? So all through 15, you know, the Lord is saying these things, that he's going to punish these places and this place and these people, and he's given direction on what he wants them to do. And Samuel is talking to Saul, and the Lord sent me to anoint you the king over his people, over Israel, 15:1. Now therefore heed the voice of the words of the Lord. And the Lord says, now go attack and utterly destroy all that they have and do not spare them, but kill both man and woman and infant and nursing child, ox, sheep, camel, donkey. So Saul gathered up the people together and numbered them and 200,000 foot soldiers. Anyway, they went into this battle. But then we get down to it, that what? They kept some of the best stuff for a sacrifice. And that upset God because they didn't follow directions. In verse 17, so Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel, and did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul says to Samuel in 20, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and I've gone on the mission on which the Lord had sent me, and I brought back, you know, this king, and I've utterly destroyed the Amalekites, but the people took of the plunder, sheep and ox, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord your God. And then Samuel goes on in 22, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than a sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is an iniquity and an idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. Wow. Even though Saul thought he was doing the right thing. How many of us today think we're doing the right thing? We've heard the voice of the Lord tell us to do this. And I'm going to do a little bit more to this. And I'm going to add a little bit to that. It's very important for all of us. For churches, for pastors, for you. The Lord is telling us all to do something, right? All we need to do is just obey him to the letter. And if we do those things, he will be pleased. And if you don't do those things, don't try to bargain with him and say, well, I know you told me to do this, but I did a little extra, and I did this so that you would even get, you know, more of this or more of that or whatever the case might be. You might say, well, so you get even more glory, Lord. I went further than what you asked me to do. The glory of the Lord. The Lord will say, glory, I can get glory all I want. I was just instructing you to do that, and you couldn't even do that. And somehow it's in our makeup to think that if we do a little bit more than that, that we are good. You know, but it's not always good, especially when the Lord has asked us to do something. When he's instructed you to do something, do it. No more, no less. And if you failed in that, don't try to bargain with him and try to beat around the bush. You might as well just flat out say, I failed, I'm sorry, and repent. Learn from it, amen. Ask for forgiveness and say, Lord, if you can ever see it in your sight to use me again, please do. So it's important to hear God. But see, when we have all these other things around us and distorting these things from us and making us not sensitive to the things of God, we may not totally hear God all the way that we should be. Even as much as we read his word and meditate with him, you know, could be those other things, because there's times, even when I do those things, that something in me starts thinking about something else. I don't know, you know, what about this? What about that? Start reading something and it's like, well, what about another water sample we got to take? You know? My goodness, your mind just runs. You know, if you're at work, it's like, what about all these other things that I got to get done? Or if you're at home, how am I going to get this done before everybody gets home? And all these things. So it's easy that your mind will start running away from you. Amen. That mind will just go where it wants to go. Until you draw it back in and say, hey, let's focus right here. Let's do some worship. Let's sing. Let's do something here, you know, to bring us back into the presence of God. And so we got to be cautious of that and careful of that. And, you know, just work on it. It's been kind of neat to hear different ones speak about throughout the week, talking to them or men's breakfast or whatever, where they've reflected back on that chatterbox. And, what's neat to know is that when you know that, as soon as it happens, you're able to kind of react to it. And, what's really good about it is knowing that I'm not the only one that it happens to. Tracy, thanks, man. It makes me feel like I'm not alone. Chris, Lou, whatever, you know, Linda, Lisa, you know, all of us, you know. And you hear like, you know, that chatterbox started on me on Tuesday, and I got rid of it, you know. You just got to do that. You've got to learn that. And you'll find that once you're recognizing, the thing is recognizing those things happening to us to realize that it's not just us. Because even my chatterbox says, it's just you, Tim. Nobody else is having this problem. So then I get a pity party, and then I just go on. But knowing the Word of God, knowing what God wants to do in us and through us and for us will keep us on track with him, I believe. Want to wait on you for your giving? Just thank you, Lord, for the blessing. Thank you, Lord, for the finances. Thank you, Lord, for meeting every need. Lord, I just thank you for a continued outpouring. Lord, I just pray for this place, this property, this facility, Lord, that you will continue to drop and deposit the financial resources in that it needs, Lord. It's never late, it's on time. And Father, that is, these are here today as they give. Father, they give willingly. They give just to say, Lord, you're my source. We as a church say, Lord, you're our source. We want to be obedient, Lord, in what you've asked us to do. And in a way, Lord, it's a sacrifice, but it's, Lord, hey, your word says to do this, and